that's the truth. Blessed be his wonderful name. Where would we be without his presence? Even Cain didn't want to leave the presence of the Lord. The angels don't want to leave the presence of the Lord. Amen? There's nothing like the presence. Hallelujah. In his presence, there's life. And that more abundantly. Amen. Appreciate you entering into the service here tonight, just worshiping him from your heart. That's what we come to do. We don't come to perform. We don't come to entertain. We just come to worship. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. Thank you, brothers and sister. And the guy in the booth over there. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 17 once again, starting at the 26th verse. Luke chapter 17 and the 26th verse. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So, why don't the organized churches speak about this? What does that mean to them? As it was in the days of Noah. Well, what happened? God destroyed the earth because it became so corrupt, so sinful. But, oh, it's different now. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So we're told that there's going to be these horrible conditions, but we're also told the Son of Man will be here to reveal himself. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, growing up in the Baptist church, I always wondered, well, what's wrong with that? You know, aren't we supposed to eat and drink and marry? And aren't we supposed to, you know, do these natural things? It's not what they were doing. It's that was their focus. And destruction was coming. But they were living like it was just any, you know, just a normal day. Until Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. I mean, I can't think of a more cataclysmic event on the face of the earth. And yet it says it's going to be the same way as it was in the days of Noah. Likewise also in the days of Lot. It would have been enough for it to be as it was in the days of Noah. But now here's another witness. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be confirmed. So both of these episodes are speaking of what will take place in the last days. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, was this a volcanic eruption or we don't know, right? And if it was a volcanic eruption, so what? You know, the Mount Vesuvius erupted in Italy upon the, there were more generals living in that area that had sacked Jerusalem, right? God didn't forget that. Even though Jerusalem brought destruction upon themselves, those that did the work, God dealt with them. You say, oh, well, it was just natural. It was a volcanic eruption, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the means was, right? It was prophesied. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That was Pompeii, right? Is that the, yeah, that's what I was trying to think of, Pompeii. I mean, those people are literally frozen in time. Right? The word frozen, it was the opposite. Well, anyway. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, the days of the Son of Man, and then it is the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Not just here, but revealed. Not Son of God. Son of God has been with us throughout the ages. Son of Man, same person, different manifestation. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Notice, not when, where. He told them when. Their question is where. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. And again from Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 and 28. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for the evening service, Lord, we're so thankful for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you continue to do. And Lord, we recognize that you're just completely and absolutely in charge and in control. And Father, your thoughts toward us are good thoughts, or they're thoughts of peace and not of evil. Lord, you have an expected end for your children, for their walk here on the earth, but it's not the end, but it's the end of their walk here on the earth. But their life is eternal. Their life is in you. Their life is without beginning and without ending. That means that they pre-existed not in a physical form, but they pre-existed in your thoughts, in your thinking, and your thoughts are eternal thoughts. Lord, we're so thankful and so grateful to have that peace in our hearts tonight, Lord, to have that rest in our hearts. And Lord, without you, what a nervous time, what a nervous state that we'd be living in. What a horrible condition that we'd find ourselves in without you. But with you, Lord, come what may, we're not asking for bad conditions, but we know no matter what comes our way, with you with us, Lord, we can go through anything. Father, we ask that you would minister to each and every heart here tonight. Those that are listening in, Lord, that you'd minister to them as well. Those that will listen in. And Father, may you be honored and glorified in all that we say and do in our lives, we pray. May we be drawn closer to you. May we come to know you in a greater measure. May we bring glory to your name is our prayer. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So, you've heard it, and you've heard it, and you'll hear it, and you've heard it. And, you know, they taught us on the job site, you know, in corporate America, when you give a talk, tell the people what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So you say, well, we've heard that this is the end time. We're going to keep saying it, right? Until it just becomes... We are living in the end time. We're living in an end time, but we're living in the end time for the Gentile dispensation. And angels are coming to investigate. You know, there were three that came in the days of Sodom, right? The Lord himself, the angel of his own covenant, and he brought two other angels with him, right? Investigating. He said, I've heard things and I'm going to come down and see for myself, right? And the angel of his own covenant is looking for hearts that can be touched, hearts that can be moved, hearts that can repent, hearts that can be turned. And this is the hour that we, each and every one of us, need to constantly press so that we can get as much out of every service as we can. Right? What services are optional and what services are important? Well, if you're in the denominations, let's see, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, because then mom will get a flower, right? You can't make this stuff up. We used to have people that would come just, they'd bring their grandkids on Easter. Mom would come on Mother's Day, and they'd bring their kids and grandkids, for around Christmas time, so they'd get a little something, and that was it. Every opportunity that we have, we should be pressing into it. You say, but I got this, that, and the other. This, that, and the other is going to be gone. Amen. We recognize that there are things that we have to do. We recognize that we are occupying until he comes. We're not telling people to quit their jobs. Right? And we're not telling you to come live on our doorstep. Right? I remember years back when we were living in California, and our desire was to move to where there was a church body and get our children plugged in and be part of a body and not have to drive, you know, 2-3 hours to go to church. And people would tell us, well, you know what Brother Branham said about California? You know, well, actually, he didn't say what you're going to tell me that he said, right? The things that you're going to tell me that he said are private conversations. He may have said it. He may not have said it, but I didn't hear it, right? What I heard Brother Branham say was get into Christ, because there's no safety outside of him. You can be lost anywhere and living somewhere. You know, as long as we're on that path, let me just go ahead and say it, and we'll get it out of the way. There are more people that moved here from California that don't go to church. They came out here, they're going to follow the message. There are more people that have moved out here that don't follow the message than there are that do. So much for safety and where you're living. So we need to press so that we can get as much out of every service that we can. You know, I think that's, everything happens for a purpose. Everything that we go through, right? And maybe we can't understand it at the time, and some things we will never understand until we get over to the other side. But I remember, I haven't forgotten the anticipation when we did have a great distance to travel, and when it was a great sacrifice to come to church. There was a time when we were living in the Bay Area that we had to drive across the San Francisco Bay, or the Golden Gate Bridge. We were in the south part of the Bay. We had to drive across that on the weekend, go into Santa Rosa area there north of the city and all that. And it was, you could never predict how long it would take to get there, right? That's part of living in a big city. But we would so look forward to it, and it would take us 2.5-3 hours to get there. And, the people that were attending the local church lived 10 minutes away, and we were always the first ones there. And some of them would be late, But we couldn't wait to get there, right? And we don't want to lose that enthusiasm. Some of you are staring at me pretty hard right now, thinking, well, you're nuts, and what you need to do is fall in love with the Lord. Surrender to him. If this seems boring, if it seems, I'm not getting anything out of it, that's because you're not putting anything into it. That's because you haven't surrendered to him. But you surrender to him one moment in his presence. There's a reason why that song was sang. One moment in his presence will change your life. So the time for the Gentiles it's coming to an end, right? And mercy is about to lift as the dispensational change ushers in. We just came back from Spain, and religion is dead in Europe, right? It's dying here in America, but it's dead there. And most of the nations, the people, the citizens there, they think they're morally superior to other people, right? From the moment we got there until the moment that we came back, I was just, most people smoke, or a whole lot of people smoke, right? And then they put their cigarettes out just anywhere, right? Well, what happened to, global warming and Mother Nature and this, that, and the other, right? So many of them were dressed obscenely, and it didn't bother them, right? Common courtesy is no longer common, right? Thinking about somebody other than yourself. We're seeing the Gentiles turn back into what they were before the gospel came. Right? I remember back in the 60s, we would occasionally get a National Geographic magazine, and I'd look through those things. And my dad would always, he censored everything, and I'm not complaining. He censored everything that came into the home. So, if we brought music in, he'd listen to it. And if he thought that it was, had a wrong message or what have you, he'd break the record, right? And no, you didn't get a refund. So you would want to run it by Dad before you went and spent the, lawn mowing money on it or babysitting money on it. So he would watch over. Now I'm losing my track of thought. Where was I going with that? He watched over everything that came into the home, and I'm real thankful for that, right? Where was that going? What's that? Thank you. Hallelujah. 9-hour time change in the last day or two, I have actually found myself where I've lost moments of time where I'm sure that I fell asleep for a moment with my eyes open. And, I hope I don't do that while I'm preaching. Yeah, so we get National Geographic into the home, and my dad would go through it because a lot of times, I still to this day I don't understand. If you're a backward tribe of people, it's okay to be nude. And it's okay for us to see you nude, right? Because you're uneducated or you're backwards or whatever. It's only us educated people that have put clothes on, right? Although that's going out the door now too, right? So my dad would go through and he'd take an ink pen and he'd make a hula skirt or whatever, If there was anything that was uncovered, he covered it up before we looked at it. And there was some interesting articles and all that. But I remember specifically, seeing pictures of people with their lip out, and great big old rings in their ears and rings around their neck which stretch their necks, and shoes on their feet that smash their feet up and tattoos all over their body. And you look at it and you think, wow, how heathen. How could anybody live like that, right? Little did I know that within my lifetime, I'd see it on the streets wherever I'm living. That's the Gentiles. And you can see that the Spirit of the Lord is greed, and the Spirit of the Lord is lifting as His presence is being rejected, right? And we're seeing Gentiles going back to being the heathens that they were before the gospel came across their path. So the time for the Gentiles is coming to an end. Mercy is about to lift as this dispensational change ushers in and God turns back to the remnant of the Jews, right? So the time for mercy is now. And we all have to press every day. Myself, all of us, right? Because darkness is pressing in on every side. And if you don't know that, then where you been? It is pressing in. And so we have to press back. From a blushing prophet, Brother Brown said, Jesus said before he comes, there will be signs in the heaven above. Did you notice before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sex affairs, he sent angels down to investigate it. Angels had come to the earth in the last few years. They've been seen among people. I mean, honest, blood-washed people. Who knows it? They've even stood and had their pictures taken. That's right. Angelic beings has visit, taking word back to the Father that sin is heaped up until the stars can hardly shine. The moon, the whole world's a reeling like a drunk man coming in at night. That's right, he says. Now, this was in 1956. Where are we at tonight? Visiting judgment angels. The angel of the covenant and the anointings to Sodom. Friends, we have a picture of the Lord in the pillar of fire. And these pictures were taken in our day. Sometimes he's seen. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he would come and maybe one person would see a pillar of fire. Sometimes many would see it. This is the hour of his appearing. The hour of his visitation. For those that love his appearing. So we hear on tape time and time and time again the prophet declare, he's here. And maybe nobody would see anything different, but they sure felt the effects of his presence coming among them. There's something about his presence. When he came to fill you with the Holy Ghost, a portion of that very same pillar of fire came in you, filling you, pulsating through you. Amen. The room might have been filled with people that day, and nobody might have seen a lick of fire. That angelic something as it lit upon you and came in you. That was your personal angelic visitation for the first time. A seal was placed on you. And maybe you didn't see a lick of fire, but you sure felt the effects of it. Not just at the moment, but afterwards. Your life is changed. You can't live like you used to live. So the fire came over the word many times and on many occasions, and it still does yet today. This message has been anointed. This message is vindicated. And the angelic visitation, it's going on in services everywhere, trying to see if there's yet a heart that can be turned. There might be a heart here tonight that the Lord's trying to get a hold of. And an angel visiting, coming into this service. You say, well, that doesn't happen. It does. It is. He's not willing that any should perish. He's seeking to save that which was lost. So the point of this is we don't want to miss our hour of visitation. Our hour of visitation is almost over. It's not over, but it's almost over. And this is the hour that calls for greater sincerity. You say, but Brother Doug, I've always been sincere. I know it. We must be more sincere. God is visiting. Let me say that again. God is visiting. We're in the hour of his appearing. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still comforting. He's still filling with the Holy Ghost. And he's still in our lives doing the supernatural. And his presence, in his presence, there's mercy. In his presence, there's forgiveness. In his presence, there's grace. In his presence, there's life. And the destroying angel cannot destroy as long as the angel of the covenant is amongst us. Who are you talking about? Christ?
Yeah.
As long as he is with us, Satan can't, he can't do what he wants to do. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then that wicked one be revealed. The son of perdition himself. So, the question tonight, friends, is what makes one service different from another?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, this season, special meetings, school vacation. No. What makes one service, what sets one service apart from another one is expectation. You get what you expect. We've heard it time and time again that we can't have revival or experience his presence at this time. And that is the wrong expectation. But those that are proclaiming that, they are getting what they expect. They don't expect his presence. They don't get his presence. It's the wrong expectation, but those that are proclaiming it are getting what they expect. And when these dead churches hear that the Lord is still moving in services where he is welcomed and where his presence is expected, well, they get mad and they say, well, it can't be so. What do you mean it can't be so? You don't even want it to be so. Then they say, well, what are you trying to say about us? Why does this have to be about you? Not saying anything about you. Just saying, isn't his presence wonderful? They're actually upset that you're experiencing something that they are no longer experiencing. But there are those that love his appearing. And that recognize their day of visitation. So if we follow the pattern through the Word, I challenge you tonight to show me where the presence of the Lord was ever absent at an end time. You say, well, what do you mean by at an end time? Well, we went through series on that in times past, but just in a nutshell, in the days of Noah, that was an end time, right? In the days of Sodom, that was an end time. In the days of our Lord Jesus, that was an end time. There was a corner that was being turned. There was a dispensation that came to a close, another one that came to an open. There are several end times throughout the scriptures. There was an end time to the Mosaic Law. There was an end time to being in bondage in Egypt. So when he leaves this time, there's no more mercy. Now, he didn't leave in 1965 and then promise to come back later in a private resurrection of one member of the body. Why do people want to limit God and put him in a box? Oh, he can only make his presence known to us through a prophet. No, the word comes to the prophet. That's absolutely the truth. But it's not true to say that he can only... Was Mary a prophet? The virgin? Was she a prophet? Of course not. Was Martha? Was Mary Magdalene? He makes himself known to those that are open, willing, looking for him, anticipating. Oh, but he can only make his presence known to us through a prophet. Okay, what happened to Christ, the mystery of God, revealed in you? What happened to, as Paul would say, Christ in you, the hope of glory? And how are we going to fulfill Revelation chapter 10 and take that little book from the hand of the angel of the covenant if he's ascended again on high? How are we going to unite with the Word if the Word has been taken from us? How are we going to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man if he's not here? If Christ is not here? Why would God spend 2,000 years trying to get back into his church only to leave just when he got back in. It's tragic that so many are missing their day of visitation. So I say, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, the resurrected Christ among us, doing what he said he would do. I believe he is. Investigating angels. From the message, the mark of the beast, he says, I truly believe that we're living in a time of this investigating judgment of God. I believe we're right in the day of it. And we don't want to be radical. We don't want to be fanatically. We're not trying to be odd. Not trying to be strange. We're not chasing after odd things, right? We just want to approach it just as sane as the Bible will speak it here. And that's perfect, of course. Again, in What Doest Thou Here, he says, put a mark on those that sigh and cry for the abominations that's did in the city. Who would he mark in our cities tonight? So he's quoting from Ezekiel. Remember Ezekiel, the angel took the ink horn and was told to go through the land and mark those that sighed and cried for the sins that were done in the cities, right? Put a mark upon them, put a seal upon them, if you will. In the days of Moses, during the Passover, the death angel came through the land. There were those that were obedient and they applied the blood to the house on the doorpost, right? And they were safe. But the death angel killed those that weren't marked in that way. There's a good mark. Amen. It's the seal of God. In the message conferences, he says, the conference we need tonight in America is the same as here at Phoenix and across the world everywhere. It's a conference of an old-fashioned prayer meeting, of a place where we can get back to the place where brotherly love exists, where the Spirit of God can come into our hearts and make us so miserable for the things out here that's going on in the world. You know, the sealing angel said, put a mark upon those that sigh and cry for the abominations that's did in the city. While the investigation judgment's going on to see who's worthy to escape the wrath. The angel was to seal only those who cried and sighed for the abominations done in the city. So, friends, that's a pattern. And if Christ is in you, there's going to be a burden for the lost. If Christ is in you, there's going to be a sense of urgency in you, right? To get people to Christ. Not get them to your church or get them to your certain way of seeing things. Get them to Christ. Our only safety is in Christ. So this is quoting from Ezekiel chapter 9, of course, which shows that the ones who are getting sealed are the ones that are sighing and crying. All the rest go through the judgment. Again, in the message of paradox, he says, watch how Abraham come up through his signs and things. And the last sign that he saw done by God was God himself. He saw him in lights and everything else. But God himself was manifested in a human being that eat and drink. Remember, he came in the he and two visiting angels took on flesh. He sat under the oak tree. Abraham fed him a calf sandwich and buttermilk and ministered to him, washed his feet, and saw that they were given a place of rest and washed and entertained and welcomed. He says, some man said to me one time, a minister, Brother Foss, he said, Brother Branham, do you mean to tell me that you think that one that the eat was that man that stood there eating that calf and eating cornbread and milk? Do you think that was God? Scripture says it was. I said, certainly. Abraham said it was. He called him Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He was the one that talked to him. He ought to know. He said he was Elohim. See, he come down to make an investigation, as he is now in the investigation judgment to see who is believers. Right. We've been hollering so much about it. Just investigate. See who really believes. See? And he made himself manifest. I want to be identified as a believer, don't you? Hallelujah. You know, if he's come to investigate, I want him to notice me as somebody that believes. Now, I say that I'm a believer, but the question is, does he bear witness to that? You say, I'm a believer. Okay, well, he will give you a sign. He'll give you a token, right? You say you believe God, God will give you a sign that, yes, you do believe. You are a believer. Some of you are just checking out tonight. Don't do that. Slap yourself. Don't slap your neighbor. Slap yourself. Oh, but Brother Baker, it's a mindset. I catch it. It's a mindset. You're sitting there resenting. You're sitting there thinking about work. You're sitting there thinking, oh, I got to go through this. You're going to have a good time out in the parking lot.
Right?
Slap yourself. We're never going to have another opportunity. This is it. This is our time. This is our day. And we're going to take full advantage of it. So I'll push, and if you pull, we'll get somewhere. Hallelujah. If I don't go to sleep on you. Again, in Christ is revealed in his own word, he says, you see these little pockets going through the air they call saucers and so forth? Well, we better leave that alone, he says. Hear all those people come up missing, you say? Don't hear from them. They're standing there and then they're not there. That's the way the rapture is going to be. You say, well, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a Bible-based Christian. Well, the Scripture tells you, be careful how you entertain and treat strangers, because people are entertaining angels unawares at times. Of course, there'd be a purpose in it. He says, that's the way the rapture is going to be. One of them will drop right down, and this terrestrial body will take on a celestial body. Once again, oh, fanaticism. That's what Paul said. He said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have another in heaven. We have a body celestial. We have a body terrestrial. When you leave this body, where do you think you're going? Just going to be a vapor floating around? That's what people used to think. But that's not true. When the witch of Endor called the prophet back, he wasn't a vapor. They recognized who it was. Well, how do you recognize? Because there was a body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The devil don't like good homespun preaching. Right? He doesn't like it when we take the gloves off. He doesn't like it when we let the chips fall where they are or where they will. Right? One of them will drop right down, and this terrestrial body will take on a celestial body. And hide hair, there won't be hide hair or bones left. It'll be transformed in a moment of time. Dropping right out of space and taking home that. We see all this going on now in the Pentagon wondering about these lights. Friends, that's all out in the news now, right? They're opening that up and they're saying, look, here's a video. Here's a picture. If these guys are crazy, don't get in another airplane because they're the ones that are flying your airplanes. And you hear them talk about it and they're very sane sounding. And many times it's more than one on the particular flight that sees these things, right? You've seen, they had one here in the paper at Jeffersonville this week and so forth, a mystic light. So, they don't know what it is, but listen, little children, it's going to pick you up one of these days. See, don't worry. Remember, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. What happened just before Sodom? God came down with some angels. Do we believe this? And they had an investigation judgment. We read that to you. We went through that over the last few services where the Lord said, I've heard these things going on, but I'm going to come down and see for myself. I've heard the cry that it's so sinful, so great. So I've come down to find out whether it's altogether true or not. Is that right? Watch the main one that stayed with Abraham and could discern the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart behind him. Remember, Sarah was in the tent behind him. And he said, he told Abraham, I'm going to visit you according to the promise. Right? And he said, why did Sarah laugh? And she was in the tent behind him. And she didn't laugh out loud. She laughed in her heart. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is the sign of the Messiah. He says, now you look around just a little bit, notice and see, watch what it's doing. The same thing today, it's an investigation judgment. Why, after a while, the church, when it can stay in that place and every seed has been brought to its spot, well, then they'll be gone. They won't know what happened to them. One will be going one way, see, there'll be two in the bed, he'll take one, leave one, two in the field, take one, leave one. One will be going over to the pastor's house. One will be going over here or down there. And first thing you know, they're not there. There was a person that gave their pastor their keys to their car and some other things. And the pastor said, what's this for? And he says, well, you know, when the rapture happens, I'm not going to need these things. So evidently his pastor is not going to make it, right? First thing you know, they're not there. For Enoch, which was the type, God took him and he was found not. So Enoch walked with God and he just continued right on. It's a type of the rapture of the church. Amen. Noah went through the tribulation. Enoch walked with God in a rapture. Come down to investigate the continuity, how the Enoch translation is a type of Israel being carried over in the ark. So in Abraham's day, the angel took on flesh. What would people say about that today? People who claim to be Bible believers. Well, have you seen the pillar of fire, Brother Doug? Actually, no. But I've seen the effects of his presence. And I'm still the effects of his presence. Others of you have seen and do see. It's, you know, it's God decides who, you know, gifts and callings are without repentance. I've experienced his presence time and time again, and it never becomes common to me. And I always feel a desire and a urgency to repent in those times. You say, well, you weren't living right. No, you just realize that you're just living humanly and his presence is, there's nothing like his presence. You couldn't hide anything in his presence. We had some say several years back that the reason that we don't see or witness his presence more often among us is because it would become common to the people. And God just doesn't want it to become common, right? Well, to those that are dead, perhaps it would become common, right? Because they're dead. But not to the true born-again believer. Did the presence of the Lord ever become common to Abraham? When his presence was made known, Abraham hasted to minister to him. In fact, Abraham was sitting in the doorway of the tent looking for him, wanting a visitation. Something, you know, He comes near when you call upon him, when you look for him. You friends, you know this is true. When we were kids, you know, All you kids, just plug your ears for a moment. When we were kids, we would tell ghost stories, right? We would try to one-up one another. Who could come up with the scariest story to give somebody nightmares for next week or so, right? And you would feel kind of a spooky atmosphere. Well, you're inviting demons. Come on, friends. I don't know where this came from, but back in the 60s, you could get a Ouija board, right? O-I-J-A or something like that, or I don't even know where the word comes from. I don't care. But you know, you would kind of have a little seance together, right? And things would kind of move around, and then there was some kind of a eight ball thing, right, where you ask a question and the eight ball would give you an answer. I mean, you're playing around with demons. Well, if those things are real, how much more is the presence of the Lord? So he's there all the time, whether you sense his presence or not. Now, the pillar of fire came down in our day, and Brother Brown physically saw it. And out of that pillar of fire would step an angel from the presence of the Lord. And Brother Branham saw that it looked like a man, about 6 feet tall, about 200 pounds or so, olive complected, shoulder-length dark hair. And light would envelop around his feet, and then he would be swept up in that light and go out of the room. Now, how do you explain that? Well, I don't. I don't have to. Any more than I need to explain my body change. I just believe I'm going to have one. Now, Joel chapter 2 told us that there would be a time of refreshing that would come from the presence of the Lord. And so it has. An anointing has already come down that has been identified with me and with me alone. A pillar of fire has come down and has consumed me with the Holy Presence. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it will take me off this earth one of these days when I step into that celestial body. And the elements of this body are rearranged. And I'll, as Paul said, I'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I'll be traveling like a thought. And the thought of traveling like a thought will no longer be mysterious. It'll be normal. So there are anointings that have come down in this day. And there's a main anointing that was with Abraham's group, right? The Lot group is getting anointed and is trying to live right in this hour. And that's good. That's wonderful. A way of escape has been provided for those that want to live righteously, those that want to follow the Lord. But that main anointing is the presence of the angel of the Lord himself. And the purpose of his visitation, first and foremost, is to get a bride that is true to his word and that is without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And he's calling out an elect seed through angelic visitations. Okay, we can get quiet, but it's still true. We are told that these angels are bringing word back to the Father that sin is heaped up. And Father has sent messenger after messenger after messenger. And they've come back with the same report. And finally, he sends his word. He sends his son himself. And the message is Christ the Word. That is his coming. That is his appearing before his physical coming. Now, he has to be rejected just as he was 2,000 years ago. But he had to appear before he could be rejected. Right? He has to be crucified afresh in this age, just as he was 2,000 years ago when the Jews rejected Christ. You say, but he's not here physically. How is he going to be crucified? His word. His word being rejected. So he is the rejected word, and the word that is despised and crucified and put to an open shame before the church world. Now, 2,000 years ago, it was before the church world of Judaism, right? It was before the Israelites. They crucified him. But the crucifying of his word is actually what releases the power of the word among those that are partaking of it and are staying true to it. So there has to be. It's prophesied and it must be.
Right.
I mean, friends, it's not a coincidence that to this last age, he says in Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, why is he at the door? Because he's been put out of his own church. I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever will open that door, I'll come in, I'll sup with him and him with me, right? That door is the door to your heart. Again, in a blushing prophet, he says, seeing it among the Christians, among the elect, they've sold their birthrights out for popularity. The minister has swapped the gospel for a social calling. Now, of course, this isn't every minister. That's not what he's saying. But that was the trend. That's the direction that things are headed in this day. Money, women, popularity. The minister has swapped the gospel for a social calling. He swapped the old-fashioned, blood-washed gospel for an intellectual with the people to preach intellect, to talk of societies, and to misuse the gospel. Many of them has went out into the fields of preaching and used the gospel for personal gain. To make money. Many of them has got big farms and cars and things that they never would have had. Personal gain. Not all. I'm thankful that there's still a remnant, he says. So a man that's trying to be somebody and draw attention to himself. A man that's trying to build an empire. Build a kingdom. A man that's trying to gain the things of this life with the wrong motive, the wrong message, with the wrong gospel, using men's souls as merchandise. Queen of Sheba, he says, today we're filled and fed and we have need of nothing. That's the admonition to this age once again, right? Thou sayest, you're rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. But I say, here's what the church is saying. But I say, you're naked, wretched, poor, blind. Right? But there's a solution to that. It's one thing to be told, you know, you're in this horrible condition. But then it's another thing to be told, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, spiritually speaking, right? And white raiment, that thy nakedness does not appear, that you may be clothed. Eye salve, so that you can see, right? Be zealous and repent. All it takes is humility. And it's in such short supply that God resists the proud. Reveals himself to those of a broken and contrite spirit. Contrition. Friends, it's not a beat down. It's a recognition that man is fallen. Today we're filled, we're fed, we have need of nothing, as we say. And the Bible says, know not that you are poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it. That's the bad part. You don't know it. Imagine somebody going down the street. You're either going to laugh or cry, and I try to use a little humor here and there so I don't cry. But We'll be going down the road, and Sister Jennifer and I, Sister Baker and I, and I'll see somebody out there in their underwear running, you know, and I'll say to Sister Baker, you know, he just realized he didn't have any clothes on him, so he's running home to get his clothes, right? I mean, 100 years ago, they'd have locked you up if you would have went out in public dressed the way people were not dressed,
right,
as it were. But now, it doesn't even get a reaction. Naked and don't know it. So imagine coming up to somebody that's naked and you tell them, you know, sorry, you know, I got some clothes or whatever. I see you must be in need because you're naked. Imagine them saying, I'm not naked. Just why don't you just mind your own business? Well, that's what people are saying to God, because he's telling them you are spiritually naked. Right? Religion is a covering. Trying to hide behind a man-made covering. Fig leaves and whatever. But God's word is the only thing that's going to deal with that sin. Right? If a man was naked out on the street and blind and knew it, well, he'd try to help himself. But when he doesn't know it, that's the pitiful part. Then the man is not mentally right. And the church is not spiritually right. Only it doesn't know it. Jesus said, if you'd have known me, you would have known my day. So, you know, there's a balance to everything, friends. Brother Branham wasn't preaching that your pastor should live in the most broken down shack that he can find down by the wash and drive the oldest car that he can find. I know that's what some believe. He drove new cars that were reasonable for his day, and he lived in a decent home. But we have men in the public eye today, men and women, that are making literally millions and are not bringing the gospel to the people. You know, 10 years ago, I don't know what the numbers are today, but 10 years ago, Benny Hinn was making $1.3 million a year, in addition to all the other perks. Joyce Myers had a $10 million jet to travel around in. She had a $2 million home, a $170,000 Mercedes, and a $20 million headquarters, and so on and so forth. That was 10 years ago. With inflation, who knows what it is today? It's all kingdom building. Kenneth Copeland, he had several thousand acre parcel for his headquarters. Several thousand acre parcel for his headquarters. He had a private airstrip, a $17 million jet, and a $6 million lakefront mansion. That was 10 years ago. An article that I was reading. 10 years ago. And they all, each one of these, teach that it's spiritual to be prosperous. And what's the guy down in Texas that... Joel Osteen, yeah. If you're not Blumke, Osteen, yeah, okay. Just, yeah, and I'm not Jim Baker either. It's 1K, not 2. Each one of these people that I mentioned teach that it's spiritual to be that prosperous. That if you aren't, that you're not spiritual. Yeah, spiritual, all right, but the wrong kind of spirit. But what are they doing for the people? And where is Christ the Word in all of that? And all the while, angels are taking note. Some are being marked for the tribulation. Others are being sealed for the rapture. As we speak. This is a deciding time. It's not a time to eat, drink, marry.
Right.
What's wrong with those things? It's not a time to focus solely on the things of this life.
Right.
How did Brother Branham handle money being given to him? What example do we find in the Abraham group? Now, people accused Brother Branham of trying to make a name for himself. Well, they accused Jesus of the same thing. He said, if I would have come in my own name, you would have received me. Right? It would have been a big back-slapping group. But he said, I didn't. I come in my Father's name. Right? The same angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel out of Egypt, that same angel of the covenant is here today. Amen. Looking for somebody to seal. Amen. And he's sealing the world out. And he's sealing his very own life in. And Satan can't break that seal. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Satan tried to put a seal on Christ. Right? Tried to seal him in that tomb. He broke that seal. Now Satan is trying to break the seal that Christ has placed on you. He can't break that seal. As Paul said, sealed until the day of your redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. So that's why we say, when that life leaves this world, so do I. Because that life is in me. If that life's gone, I'm gone. I go where it goes. Friends, I'm sure that I've probably mentioned it before, but it bears stating once again. I'm not looking at the tribulation period as something that I'm just, you know, horrified of, and I'm so scared, and oh, I don't want to, you know, like they used to in the denominations, they used to try to scare the tar out of you, you know, get you to claim to, believe Christ and to serve Christ out of fear, because you don't want to live in that horrible, you know, nightmarish ghost story kind of. They must have told ghost stories. That's probably where they came up with this, you know, that salvation is something you got to be scared into, right? Don't tell ghost stories, right? I'm being loved into it. It's God's great love. For God so loved that he gave. Right? I'm not being scared into anything. He's taking that fear out of me. He's taking that fear out of you. I'm being loved into it. Hallelujah. So, I'm not looking at the tribulation period as something that, you know, oh man, that'd be horrible. How would I survive? And oh, how scary. And, you know, it sounds like one of these ghost stories that we told as kids. No, that isn't it. I don't want to be here if he's not here. Amen. And Billy Graham, the Baptist, the gifted man, he made a statement one time. He said, if the Holy Spirit were to leave the earth, were to lift and leave the earth, he said, there probably wouldn't be 0.1% of the people that go to church that would even know the difference. That was coming from a Baptist. But he's right. But I'm one of those 0.1%. If he's living in you, how could his life leave and you not know it? You not be aware of it? The flip side of that is, how could he be living in you and you not know it? How could he be here and you not know it? Just go ahead and let him be the supernatural God he is. Go ahead and believe God. Dare to believe God. Dare to take him at his word. Don't worry about somebody calling you a sign seeker. You're not seeking after a sign. Signs are supposed to follow after you. Wherever that life is, signs will follow. These signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. So God is looking for somebody to believe in this generation. And it shall be even as it was told, he says. See, God's always had ministering spirits. Okay, you thought I was making that up. Now you can say amen. I believe in them. I believe in ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. The Holy Spirit ministers, lead the church, guardian angels that watch over us. You say, I don't believe in guardian angels. Why did Jesus then say, be careful how you treat these little ones? For their angel doth always behold the face of the Father. Oh, that's what he just said. Guardian angels that watch over us, their angels always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Is that right? Again, from the angel of the Lord, he says, now, as I pray for the sick, I want each of you out there to be aware of this, that the Holy Spirit is right out over this audience tonight to heal anybody that's in this audience. Now, this may be a little different from what you've seen of brethren that pray for the sick. I can only do as God tells me to do. I can only say as he says for me to do. And if I tell the truth, then God will testify that I told the truth. Now, what I'm afraid of is this, dear friends. What I'm afraid of, if it was back there, it'll have to be that way. Because when Moses came, many refused Moses because he was a man. When Jesus came, many of them refused Jesus because he was a man. And they said, him being a man makes himself equal with God. What they didn't recognize is that God became one of us, took on human flesh. Now, he was God manifested in the flesh. So there'll never be a man like him on the earth. That's right. There'll never be a man like him. But he ordained certain things to be done. And then it's so hard sometimes for people to see that because a man said so. He said, I'll do a work in the last days. Though a man bring it, they will not believe it. That's the scripture. How many knows that's a scripture? Though a man would bring it, speak it. Now it's hard. The hardest thing that God has ever gotten or had to do was to get one mortal to believe another. We're living in the most doubtful age, most doubtful time. Satan has made sure that we're all going to be a bunch of skeptics. Well, nobody's going to fool me, right? The hardest thing that God has ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe another. You'd believe anything almost, but one person believing another, that's a hard thing. It's amazing how people will believe conspiracy. There's no facts. It's just all shadows and, imagination. And yet you can't get them to believe another person. But they'll believe. It really is a paradox, isn't it? And I've taught this for years. I've tried. Ever since I've been out to stand back and try to keep out of the picture just as much as I possibly could so that they would see the Lord Jesus. Just stand back. I want you now to look to what I'm pointing to. Not because I'm telling you this, that the angel of the Lord, how many have seen the picture of it back there at the counter? You should see it. I wish I could afford to give them to every one of you. Just about cost us what we got on there. And we'll be glad if you can get it. We just had a very few of them left that we have, but first they had to be so copyrighted and everything till we couldn't even touch it by no means. But I got a hold of it. And there they was charging so much for it and everything till they made thousands times thousands of dollars out of it over there in Houston and around. And then when I got a hold of it myself, I let it back to the people just at cost, whatever it cost him, right? First, I was afraid to touch it, he says. There is the same supernatural being. I say this as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, fearing God, knowing that someday I must stand before him in his presence to give an account for every word that I've ever said on this earth. I realize that. And I may be wrong. And if I am wrong, Almighty God, forgive me. For I don't mean to be that way. But a while ago, I made a little personal saying about myself. About 10 people got up and walked out. Well, there it is. If people were concerned about your soul, friends, you'd sit down and solve the thing through and not be so cut and dried in your own ideas. Someone's going to go to heaven, and somebody's going the other way. So I guess there you are. They have ears, but they can't hear, eyes, and they can't see. Is that right? He says, now I want you to know that that angel of God is no more to do with me than it is to do with you. That it's an angel sent down from heaven. And if you don't believe angels are ministering spirits sent from the presence of God, then you don't know your Bible. Yes, sir. Someone said, Brother Branham, angels is only for the Old Testament. He says, why, that's an error. The new church had more angels ministering than what the Old Testament did. Yes, sir. Well, they said, the Holy Ghost leads the church. Well, that's correct. The Holy Ghost is over all. That is the body. And it's true. But there's also ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. Paul said so. We know that Mary and all of those, that they've seen angels. Jesus, there were angels at the tomb. There were angels that when Jesus ascended up, they said, what are you guys looking at? What are you standing gazing at? The same one that ascended is going to descend, right? We know that the New Testament, the New Church, seen angels. How about you say, well, do you believe Philip had the Holy Ghost? Philip the evangelist? After Pentecost, he had the Holy Ghost, didn't he? But who was it that told him to go to the desert at Gaza? The angel of the Lord came down. Is that right? Who was it that spoke to Paul when he was having that revival at Samaria? Peter had the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that? And while they were having a prayer meeting for him at John Mark's house, the angel of the Lord, what was it? A light shined in the window, and the angel of the Lord touched him and dropped the shackles off of him and put him outside the building. Is that right? And Peter had the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Paul, the apostle, he had the Holy Ghost. Do you believe it? But after 14 days, after no sun, moon, stars, Paul was absent for a long space down to a galley, down in the galley praying. And he came out on the deck and he said, be of good cheer, for the angel of God, whose servant I am, appeared to me last night and told me what things would be. And I believe God. It'll be just as he showed me. Is that right? The whole book of Revelations was shown to John by an angel. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify. Is that right? So angels are ministering spirits, usually coming in the form of lights. And I truly, personally, as I started to say a while ago, with my Bible over my heart, I believe that the angel of God, I've seen it since I was a little boy in that little cabin. They told me he'd come in. That you seen that picture that the lady drawed last night of a little cabin where I was born. That doesn't make me even equal with the church or the people. That's right. It isn't the idea today who's great and who's not great. The idea of it today is to get the people to believe the Lord Jesus. That's the whole point. That's the whole goal. Get them to Christ. So the signs of his appearing are all around us, friends. To us and even to the Lot group. The foolish virgin group. Even the name of the one that he appeared to first had a name ending in H-A-M. There was an H-A-M that was sent to the bride, and there's an H-A-M that was sent to Sodom. We've been given a super sign. The works that he did 2,000 years ago, repeating in the end time in a many-membered body. He said it would be that way. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these things, for I go to my Father. When he said greater, he didn't mean, what's greater than what he did? More. That's the correct translation of it. More. Because he's doing it in a many-membered body. But it's the same one doing these works. Again, in the message, have faith in God. We'll pull over here in just a minute. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's just doing all kinds of things to get people to believe it. But we're just so loose. We let it slip through. He could come here tonight, walk out on a platform, visible in a body with nail-scarred hands and return. And he's here in the form of spirit, but not in the form of flesh. When he brings his body back with him, well, it'll be the second coming and it'll all be over then. But he could come here in the city of this great city of New York tonight, and there'd be tens of thousands, yes, millions of them would laugh at him and make fun of him. That's exactly right. Because they're just so loose. They just, oh, I don't know what I believe. See, they're not willing to take it. They're not willing to believe. They're not willing to settle themselves to what the Word of God says. Jesus said when he was here on the earth, the things that I do shall you do also, even more than this will you do, for I go to my Father. The very works that he did here on the earth said that we could do the same thing by his resurrected power. And yet God will manifest it amongst the people and they still won't believe it. I can tell you why just now, but I won't. Because I don't think it's seasonable at this time to let you know why. But you who believe should be a very happy people. That God has called you to a faith in him. Amen. Are you happy?
Amen.
Hallelujah. One more here. He says, now, Heavenly Father, that's as far as I can go, Lord. I can only say what the Word says. It takes you to perform the Word. All attention is on him. Christ the Word.
Amen.
It takes you to perform the Word. Here's your servants, the ministers, godly men. Here's godly women, servants, sitting everywhere, sick and afflicted. If you're standing here with this suit on that you gave me, you could do no more for them. If they come up and said, Lord, will you heal me? Why, you'd say, my child, I did that 1900 years ago when I took on your stripes for... When I took stripes on for your healing, believest thou this? They'd say, yea, Lord, but how do I know it's you? Well, then you'd show that it was you, that you was the Christ. You could show them, you could do something that would prove to them that you was the Christ, not with nail scars in your hands, because anyone could impersonate that. But the supernatural is to go down into that person's life and know what they're doing, what they're here for, then we know that it's your spirit.
Right.
The word discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
You, the great vine moving in your branches, let it be so tonight again, Lord. Honor your word.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us of our sin as we have forgiven those that have sinned against us. Give us sweetness of spirit and may the Holy Spirit come right quickly and confirm the word. That every person in here might know that the Son of God is not dead, but is risen from the dead and is alive after 1900 years and alive forevermore. Through Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. How many believes he's alive? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the ends of the world. Amen. How many believes that tonight? How many believes he still heals? How many believes he still delivers? How many believes he still saves? He's seeking to save that which is lost. How many believes he still changes lives? How many believes he still confirms his word? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Investigating angels. The theophanic Christ, the anointings of the Lord. What time is it, friends? I don't mean how long have I been preaching. I mean, what time is it? What could take place in our day? What could happen every time we come together? Or whenever we come together? What could happen? What makes special meetings special? Your desire for them to be special? Friends, it's not, well, it's because we got brother this and brother that. I appreciate brother this and that. Wonderful. Right? But God can use anyone. What he's looking for is a believing heart. He's just trying to get somebody to take him at his word. And as we've been looking at on Wednesday nights, and perhaps we'll tie a bow around it this next Wednesday. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. And you'll learn that I'm meek and I'm lowly. So it's not the loudest voice out there, right? Not a big, boisterous show-off. God's not a show-off. We might have had these thoughts, you know, they're human thoughts. I had these thoughts when I was younger. I thought, well, why doesn't God just show off? You know, why doesn't he just speak louder than the devil? Why doesn't he just, because that's not who he is. He's humble. He doesn't have to blow the big horn, right? And he's not going to perform to try to get you to believe. That's not believing anyway, right? You believe and then you receive. Not you receive and then you believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Right? You believe, then you receive. What could happen every time we come together? We're told that there will come a time when you can't wait for those doors to come open. Right? What's it going to take for that to happen? That old windbag again. Let's hire a better preacher. Let's have faith in God.
Right.
Let's take him at his word.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, he wants to prove himself.
Yes, he does.
He wants to make himself known.
Right.
He wants to shower you with his love.
Amen.
Oh, but serving the Lord is taking this away and taking that away. No, the only thing he takes away from you is sin.
Amen.
Things that aren't good for you.
Right.
He wants to bless you. He wants to be your God. Friends, just if we just think about Israel for just a moment, I am stopping, but if we think about Israel for a moment, he said, I'll be your God. You'll be my people, right? And I'm going to look after you like no other nation on the earth. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to lead. I'm going to comfort. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to give you my word. I'll deliver you. I'll be your champion. That was under a shadow. How about under the fulfillment, the New Testament church, his bride? He wants to prove himself. But he needs us to take him at his word. We need to come with anticipation. We need to come with expectation. Positive expectation. Amen? We get what we're looking for. We get what we expect. Right? Well, I want to expand my expectations, don't you? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. And all for his honor, all for his glory. Not to vindicate any person or church or... We don't have to go around saying, well, in our services, he did blah, 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 blah. Right? That's why we even hesitate. It's a real shame, isn't it? We hesitate even to testify of the wonderful, marvelous, supernatural things that he's done amongst us because we're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. We're not trying to say we're right and everybody's wrong, or right? No, he's right. And if you take him at his word, he'll prove it. But we should testify. Why? Because it happened. Because he's doing it. He's doing what he said he would do. And you never know who might be encouraged by it. You never know. I mean, bad news travels like wildfire, doesn't it? It almost seems like people want to hear bad news, the way it travels so quickly. Well, how about good news? When's the last time you opened up a newspaper and it said so-and-so was filled with the Holy Ghost last night? This person was raised from the dead. This person was set free from alcoholism. Or this person was set free from, you know, they were out of their mind and God brought them back into their right mind. No, but people will pay for bad news. And they'll have confidence. They'll believe that those bad things happen. How about the good? How about the things that the Lord promised that he would do? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we meditate on these things tonight, Lord, we thank you for reminding us. We thank you for keeping things before us, Lord, not allowing us to go become complacent, and Lord, to act like we preach that assurance, Lord, that blessed assurance, that true assurance. But it's not so that we would rest on our laurels. It's not so that we would sit on the sidelines and say, well, you know, I've reached the goal. No, we're pressing towards the mark, the high calling in Christ, and we'll continue to press. It's just we know how this story ends. We know that you are going to perform your good word toward us, that you're going to keep your word. We know that there is an eternal rest that we can have. There's a peace that passes all understanding that can be with us. We'll still go through trials. We'll still go through tests, but that peace will remain with us. It'll sustain us. It'll keep us. Lord, we've got a great future ahead. Your word declares it. Lord, we just want to take you at your word. Father, help us to be mindful, not just here, but and even the more so in our daily lives. May we keep it before us, Lord, the importance of the time that we're living in, the importance of the time that we've been given. May we redeem that time, Lord. May we be about our Father's business. And Lord, your business is performing your good word. Your will is your word. If we have, if we want to know what your will is for our lives, we look to your word. Your word declares what your will is. Father, may we be more sincere. May we be focused. May we recognize the junction in time that we're at. May we recognize, Lord, that mercy and grace is, there's a limit. There's a time when it's no longer available. The last one will come in, but not because we're sitting back and marking time, but because we're actively standing in the gap. We're actively crying out. We're actively sighing and crying. Burden for souls. Burden for you to be a help. Lord, we know that we have the answer. We're not the answer, you are. But we know that what you've given to us is what everybody, it would be a benefit to everybody. And it's what everybody's looking for, whether they realize it or not. The only peace is in you. The only love is in you. The only overcoming power is in you. The only rest is in you. The only assurance is in you. The only salvation is in you. It's all in you, Lord. Father, may it just be kept in the forefront of our minds, Lord, and our hearts. May we redeem this time, Lord, that you've given to us. We hear it repeated so much. Well, I don't have time for this, and I don't have time for that. But Lord, we know that's not true. We do have time. You've given us the time. But we need to redeem that time. We need to not be have a double vision or let our eyes wander here or there, but we need to keep that singleness of vision before us, walk toward it. Invite you, Lord, to fulfill your word in our lives. I pray that each one would be encouraged tonight, Lord. Each one would be strengthened, that each one would look to you and say, Lord, I want to be drawn closer to you. I want to surrender to you that much more. I want to see you manifested in my life. As we heard the testimony and prayer here just a moment ago about wanting to get to the place where just the human part is out of the picture, backed up, so that others can see you. Others can be drawn to you, and others can be can come to taste of you and come to know of you. Lord, we don't want to be a stumbling block. We don't want to be a hindrance to others because of the humanness. We're all human. Those that were desiring to come to know you, we're just as human as they are. But there's something that you've placed down in the soul. There's a gift of life. And Lord, those that are hungering and thirsting, that's what they're thirsting for, is that kind of life. So Lord, may we be ready, may we be available, Lord, to be used by you for those that are hungering and thirsting, those that are searching. Father, that they can be drawn to you. We know that nobody can come except you draw. But Lord, we know that your ordained method is to use man, to work through man. It's your choice. It's your means of doing this. It's not what we've decided, it's how you've decided to do it. So Lord, may we be those vessels that are yielded and surrendered so that you can love through us. Lord, so that others can be drawn to you. So we know that the door is closing. We know the hour is upon us. When the scripture says, let him that's filthy remain filthy, let him that's clean remain clean. We know that door will shut. We know that the dead in Christ will rise. We know that there'll be a change in the body, a short, quick work, and there'll be a gathering together to meet you in the air. Off to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then we know that Satan is going to go about as just a raving lunatic, angry. His wrath is going to be unleashed for 3.5 years. And Lord, we don't wish that on anyone. And if we do, there's something wrong with us. But Lord, our desire is, if there's, as Abraham said, if there's 50... Will you withhold that destruction if I could find the 50? And then it was 40, and then it was 35, then 30, and just on and on and on until it was just Lot and his family. Lord, if that's the pattern as it was in the days of Sodom, if that's the pattern as it was in the days of Noah, where Noah preached salvation from the flood and repentance and your provided way, well then that's how it'll be here once again. And Father, may we be yielded vessels to declare that that positive gospel, that wonderful message that we can go free. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace in our lives. And our desire, Lord, we're not selfish with it. Everyone should experience your presence. That's our desire, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement and to be a help, to lead others to your great presence. We ask these things in your lovely name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.